Wake up. There's no sleeping in on Saturday. It's time for the Paul Santos Show on WBSM. Join Paul as he tackles local issues, current events, and fun conversations. Call 508-996-0500 or send Paul an app chat message on the WBSM app. Hey, hey, hey. Now, here's Paul Santos. What you got to
say? They are the new Hollywood Squares. And here's your host, John Davidson.
How do you like that, huh? How do you like that? Playing the old clip of the introduction of John Davidson when he took over the reboot of the Hollywood Squares. How about that, huh? Cueing that baby up. All right, let's see if I can get John on here. John, are you there?
Well, I've waited a lifetime. I've done a lot of exciting things in my life, but never, never have I had a chance to talk to Paul Santos on Saturday morning. And I'm just tingly. Paul, I've heard so much about you from people who drink a lot, and they seem to say that you got the whole thing covered and that you're a pro. And let's try to prove that wrong, Paul.
Yes, we'll try to prove. I love the way you say my name, Paul Santos. Yes,
Santos.
Yeah, it makes me feel good, you know, like a big time artist like yourself saying my name, you know. Hey, John.
I'm not a big time artist. I'm a guy who loves doing what I'm doing, and the most amazing thing has happened to me. I'm not a spring chicken, and a guy named Steve Berger from Verdict Music heard a couple of my songs, and he said, "I want to sign you to my label, mm-hmm. Verdict Music." And it's just the best thing that's ever happened to me because he hooked me up with people like Paul Santos.
It doesn't get any better than that. Hey, I got to tell you, you know, it's kind of funny talking to you because, you know, I grew up in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and into the 90s, and I just remember seeing you everywhere. You're like on Ed Sullivan, then you're on Carol Burnett, then you're on, you know, you're acting on the streets of San Francisco, which I watched, then, you know, the Hollywood Squares, and I'm like, man, this guy's like everywhere.
Well, I'm a whore, really. If anybody says, you know, you want to do this, you want to do that, I say, yeah, I can do that. Mm-hmm. And probably have never done it before. My approach has been to not be a spear. I had an early manager that said, you got to be not a spear, but be a pitchfork. Mm-hmm. In other words, I was a theater arts major and then a lot of vocal lessons and then somebody said, you want to host a game show? Yeah, sure, Hollywood Square, yeah. So I started on Broadway, and it's been that kind of a career. I've spread it around. So I'm still working at everything. It's a master of none, but a variety of different areas keeps me interested. So that thanks for saying that.
Well, you know, your voice is the same. You know, I'm talking to John Davidson, and I'm like, I know this voice. I heard this voice for 25, 30 years on television.
Well, you should hear my voice when I'm awake, when decent people get up, Paul. I can't believe, Billy, it's my record company, it's Verdict Music that got me up at this hour. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's you. And you're doing great shows, man. I just you're all over it. My voice gets better as the day goes on. I did a show last night at my little club, Club Sandwich in Sandwich, New Hampshire. It's a barn. Doesn't smell like a barn, but it's a barn. And then tonight, I do another show tonight. And so when I'm through talking to you, I may go back to bed for a little bit because, mm-hmm. you know, people aren't up yet, except the people that are listening to you.
You know, I know you're 83 years old. I hope you don't mind me saying that. Obviously, anybody can look you up. But, you know, I look at you at 83. I'm 65. And I thought, well, you know, I'm on the back nine here. You know, I want to do this radio show. I want to do this TV show. I better get it in. You know, I'm an empty nester and all that. The thought that I could do this for 15 years or 20 with my TV show, radio show, man, I just hope I have the cognitive ability and the physical ability to continue to do this. Because I can tell you love it. And I guess you are in good shape.
Not good enough. I get lazy. I used to play a lot of tennis, and then I had my knee replaced. But I don't play. Actually, I did play last week very badly. But I try to exercise. I try to eat well, but I certainly don't get it right a lot of times.
it's hard to eat good and eat well, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, where did you get that hair, man? That, you got like the perfect hair. And you still have, at 83, you haven't lost, like I have like probably 80% of my hair. And I'm like, oh, I'm doing pretty good. You have 100% of your hair. And it's all white. Well, I mean, you look fantastic.
Thanks. So some people have hair. Some people have talent, you know. I don't know. My hair just keeps on growing. I'm like an albino chia pet, and it just keeps coming out of my head. And I have no hair on the rest of my body, but on the top of my head. And I don't know. It just keeps on growing, and I'm very thankful for that. My dad had all his hair until he passed, and it's in my family. It's in my genes. I don't know why. Why is it? Is it your mother's side or your father's side? I don't know.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I was looking at your background. I never knew that you grew up in a family with both parents being Baptist ministers. So, in other words, how did you leave there and pursue all of your dreams, both acting and performing on stage?
Well, it was an interesting transition because I did grow up very much as a preacher's son. That people knew me as a preacher's son.
Son of a preacher
that
man.
Was it. I didn't have a real name, you know. And I had to be the epitome of what a fine young man should be. But I went to college in Ohio, and I just kind of broadened my mind, and I got a Denison University. And I took two courses in my sophomore year trying to figure out what to major in. And one was the comparative religions of the world, and the other was Logic 101. And they hit me both at the same semester, and I don't know. I'm non-religious now. Mm-hmm. I'm a member of a group called Openly Secular. Mm-hmm. And I sat down with my dad and I said, this is where I am. And, he was fine with that. But you don't have to be secular to go in the show business. But I also began singing in a rock band called the Cool Chords in the 50s in the White Plains, New York, actually. And, I grew up in Massachusetts, by the way, outside of Brockton, Mass, a little town called West Bridgewater.
Yeah. I saw that and I didn't even realize that you lived in West Bridgewater. Yeah. That's only like about, yeah, you know, maybe half an hour from where I am, you know?
Yeah, well, I've tried to be like you as much as I could all through my life.
Have you ever been to New Bedford before?
I've never been to Bedford, no.
New Bedford, no? How about Cape Cod?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. Oh, yeah. So we're not that far from Cape Cod.
Okay.
Hey, but anyway, I'm looking at these shows. Now you got some breaks here. Obviously, you're on that Hallmark Hall of Fame. I used to like that show. Very, very deep acting. So you did that. And then I see that you got on the Ed Sullivan Show. I mean, what was that like being on? We got a really big show, and we've got John Davidson, and we got the Beatles. And, you know, like you're actually on this show with Ed Sullivan. What, can you put that into words, what that was like?
Well, it was a weird thing. They did it at that the studio 52 or what it was out right there on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And it's where so many shows have come out of. I think even Colbert used to just come out of there or still does.
Yes. David Letterman. Mm-hmm.
David Letterman. Yeah. And it was a building where your dressing room was several flights up. So you'd be sitting in there in your dressing room and somebody said, now you're going to follow the dancing bear. And so be careful where you walk because it could be slippery. And so, yeah, and he, you know, Sullivan introduces you, and there you are. I never really, I shook his hand. I walked over after I sang something. And I did his show twice, actually. And it was very exciting, but he was this cardboard thing that I never got to know him at all. I mean, I just shook his hand, and people were applauding and going. Some girls were screaming, not a lot. I mean, I was, you know what, Paul? I've never been hot.
You never had women like Tom Jones, like throwing their underwear at you or anything like that?
No, grandma's throw underwear now, but it's not the same kind of underwear.
Right,
it's big floppy underwear.
No, but you're a hot throb, right? You have to say that you're a hot throb. You know, I mean, I know you're being humbled and all that, but you were like, you know, I looked at this guy like, wow, this guy's a handsome SOB, you know?
Yeah, but I was never, I mean, I'm not a, I don't know. But I had a manager who talked to Helen Gurley Brown, and Helen Gurley Brown was looking for the second Cosmopolitan centerfold. And this is in 73.
Oh, I remember that.
They'd already done Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, we want to do John Davidson. And on one side, and Jim Brown, the football player, on the other side. And so my manager said, you ought to do this. And I said, my folks will kill me. And I why would I do this? They said, well, it will broaden your career. And so I went to New York and did a centerfold. It wasn't naked. It wasn't naked. I was wearing a towel.
Mm-hmm.
And the trouble is they made me Mr. February, which is the shortest month. But I was almost naked. So it was a stupid thing. Some people, you know, felt that it was a bad thing to do. But it was fun. I don't know. I've done a lot of crazy things,
mm-hmm.
and somehow I just say yes to things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when they said, you know, Paul Samples, I said, yes, I would like to talk to Paul.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I got to tell you, Johnny Carson, I'm a huge, huge Johnny Carson fan. I love that show. And the fact that you were able to host it and fill in more than anybody else. I mean, my God, what was that like?
More than any other singer.
Singer, you know, yes.
I'm sure Jay Leno and Joan Rivers filled in more than I did.
Right. Yeah. So what was that like filling in for Johnny Carson? I mean, that's like the pinnacle of where you want to be.
Well, the deal was you had to keep it straight in your head and not get a big head, because it's Carson's seat, and it's, mm-hmm. his name is on the pencils that he twirls around, and his name is on the coffee cup. And you got to realize that I couldn't book the show. I couldn't get my friends on. I was just a fill-in for Carson, and it was a thrill. Carson,
what was he like?
Took me under. I got better at it. I was a Vegas performer at that point, and I had done the Carson show, but I'd never hosted it. And they called me in to do a week here, a week there, and it was amazing. I had a lot to learn about interviewing people,
mm-hmm.
and I felt I got better. But I realized that I was stretching, and that's what I've done in my career. I just kept stretching, and I feel like I haven't done my best show yet. I'm you know, I told you about Club Sandwich here in Sandwich, New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
I love a challenge. And hosting Carson was a real challenge.
What about when you were a guest on the show and, you know, you sat down in the chair and Johnny interviewed you? Like, what was that like? People say that he was kind of shy, and once the show was over, he really didn't talk to you too much. I mean, what was he like?
Well, he was a real gentleman. And he, as I say, I think he supported me. I think he, I'm sure at the time I was doing a series with Sally Field called The Girl with Something Extra.
Yes.
And I think that, and that was on NBC. And I think, although no one said this to me, that NBC called Fred DeCordova and Peter LaSalle, the producers of the show,
mm-hmm.
and said, would you use Davidson because he's on NBC, he's one of our boys, and we'd like to use. And I think that's how it started. And then Carson, I learned how to do Carson. You got to throw it back at Johnny. You got to let him look straight into camera and do that look and get the
yeah.
laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I tried to touch his hair one time. I tried to just touch him. And of course, he reacted, you know, in his cute way, like, don't touch me. You know, it was a very funny bit. And yeah. I've done it several times after that. But he was a very shy man. Mm-hmm. But his brain, this cross-index with all the shows that I've been watching the reruns now here lately.
I love watching the old shows. When they had Don Rickles on there and Rodney Dangerfield, the way he could do that straight man thing. Oh, my God. I was falling off the chair watching it. You know, it was just great television.
Yeah. Why were you sitting on a chair at that time of night? Why weren't you lying in
Well,
bed?
Actually, come to think of it, yeah, I was in bed. I was in bed, actually. I got put on YouTube, and I'm like, hey, let me see some Carson tonight. Anyway, for our people who are just tuning in, we're talking to John Davidson, right? Which I can't believe I'm talking to John Davidson. John, he said, Paul Santos. Well, I'm talking to John Davidson. If you'd like to give us a call and ask John a question, when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, that song that he wrote, that contest is going on. We had so many other things. I mean, Sonny and Cher, Carol Burnett. I mean, there's so many things to talk about. We got to move along. So we're going to talk to John Moore in just a moment. You're listening to the Paul Santos Show here at WBSM. We will be right back right after this.
That's what I was trained to do. And then it sort of dried up, didn't it?
Yeah.
Of course, what's brought it back is all these contests to, you know, the best The Voice and American Idol, and that's really a form of variety television.
Mm-hmm.
But when variety television dried up, that's when somebody said, "Well, let's get into home."
Hey, John, you're breaking up just a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wonder what that is. I feel like I'm the same. I'm sitting in the same place.
Have you been in the same spot the whole time?
No, I went and got a glass of water. During the commercials, I went and got it. But I'm back.
So wherever you were before.
I'm where I was before. I just walk in circles, really.
Yeah, it's a little shaky. It keeps, like, breaking up a little bit. A little bit. Yeah, it's breaking up a little bit.
Let me go to another location. I'm here in Sandwich, New Hampshire, which now has indoor plumbing, which is an amazing thing.
John is out in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, is this better? I don't know.
I think that's better. Yeah, I think that's better. Don't move.
Okay. All right, let me sit down.
Let me toss a few names at you, because I know, hey, being on these shows is probably similar, but, you know, like, say, Sonny and Cher, really popular show, right? They must have been fun, right?
Fun is the wrong word. I realized it was great exposure and it's great. Sonny is, you know, more like I am. He greets you when you do the show like that. Cher said hello to me and it was great. And of course she's an awesome, awesome entertainer and has had an incredible career, but I didn't say more than two sentences to her. She was busy but she's great. You know, it's, as you said, it's hard running a variety show. She had a lot to do and
a lot of pressure.
She's more of I found her to be more of a private person, mm-hmm. but maybe that's just with me. But I must say she's done some great spots with Letterman, so she's very outward. But I think I was a different thing, you know. But Sonny was the guy who's just the welcoming kind of, you can tell that by their relationship, and that they played off that. That she was a beautiful woman and is a beautiful woman, so it was different in that way. But they did. Sonny and Cher was in the same studio as Carol Burnett. I did a lot of Carol Burnett shows,
right?
And she was more like Sonny. So it was, you know, we're all different. But that was the day of variety, and I did Tony Orlando.
Tony Orlando.
Yeah, what a great guy, and he and I can relate to each other because we do an audience-oriented show. I mean, he can do hit records for 2 hours. But I learned a lot from Tony Orlando about crowd control and audience bits.
Oh, he was always good at going into the audience and having the audience participate in what he was doing. He was golden at that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so Carol Burnett, let's see what else we got here. Oh, by the way, obviously, you're an actor, right? So you did Love American Style. You did The Love Boat, Fantasy Island. Of course, one of my favorites, The Streets of San Francisco, Carl Malden and Michael Douglas, when you were the cross-dressing mentally ill person. You know, I was a big fan of The Streets of San Francisco, so I remember that episode really, really well. William Wyndham, the great character actor, was on there. There's a lot of great actors on there. What was it like playing parts that were serious when you were, you know, an entertainer, when you were a singer?
I had a manager, Alan Bernard, who managed Andy Williams, and he said, there's a part that's come up, and he said, you may not want to do this, but I think they said Dean Jones had the part and canceled because he just felt he couldn't do it. It was a part of a cross dresser. Now this was in the 70s, you know.
Yeah.
And he had a girlfriend. I guess he wasn't supposed to be gay. It was just he couldn't stop himself from dressing up like a woman and killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was an interesting role. I worked with a female impersonator and I shaved off my eyebrows to do it, and one of my brothers was a surgeon, and he said, "Boy, you should never have done that because sometimes they don't come back, but they come back."
Well, you had like a meltdown in the meltdown, and so you know, so different than what you're doing when you're on, say, a variety show.
Yeah. I had a lot of acting classes and stuff. And so yeah. That was one of my trips, my tricks. One of my, I pictured the plate spinning on the stick in the air. And that was one of the plates that I kept spinning. But I was shooting in San Francisco. And by the way, Michael Douglas he really reached out to me. And at the time, he was editing One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Mm-hmm. I think he was a producer of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. So he was running out to that. But we did spend a lot of time talking. He was very supportive. And Streets of San Francisco was a great show. But we were filming in San Francisco. And one day I would be the woman, and the next day I would be the man. And on one of the days when I was a woman, I was drinking, used to be a drink called Tab. Maybe it's still around, but I drank a lot of Tab and coffee because I was nervous about playing the woman. And then I had to go to the restroom. Well, now when you're shooting in San Francisco and you're in full drag, which restroom do you go to? I didn't have much time, and I ran into the ladies' room. Right. I figured, what the heck?
And this was the 70s. This was before, you know, the different controversies came up later. This was the 70s.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Cool.
And so I was in there a little bit, and a lady walked in, and she said, "Oh, my goodness, what are you doing in here?" And I said, "How did you recognize me?" She said, "You were the only one standing." But that was a joke, Paul.
No,
I
know.
Sorry.
That was great. It was
still a silly joke.
Well, I was told that you like silly humor, so you and I are getting along fine. I love silly humor. I mean, just joking around and trying to have fun. And, you know, as you get older, you just want to enjoy every single day, which is what you're doing.
Yeah.
All right, let's take some calls here, if that's okay.
Sure.
508-996-0500. We're talking to John Davidson, who was on every single show you can think of. Hollywood Squares, Ed Sullivan, Sonny and Cher, Carol Burnett, Johnny Carson. I think you did Mike Douglas and, didn't you do Mike Douglas and Merv Griffin?
Yeah, did Mike Douglas a lot. Did Griffin a lot.
I remember. You were everywhere. You were everywhere. You were, you know, at that time, you know, of course, we had the 70s and all that. You came across in sort of a wholesome, clean-cut kind of a way. You know what I mean? You weren't like a hard rocker like Led Zeppelin or anything. You were dressed up in the suit. You had the perfect hair. And, you know, everybody...
I carried that... that all-American good guy thing. Yeah. I'm not always a good guy. I've been an asshole. I've been many things. But I think because of the way that I looked, I was really cute. I was cuter than Donny Osmond and maybe cuter than Marie. I don't know. But that's part of the look, and it's part of the way I was brought up as a preacher's kid. And that's not really who I am, but that is how I came across.
All right, we're talking to John Davidson, a great thrill here. John, of course, he's the person who filled in on the Tonight Show more than anybody else as a singer. He's the singer that filled in the most for Johnny Carson. Imagine how he was on with Johnny, worked with Johnny, Merv Griffin, Mike Douglas, Sonny and Cher of Streets of San Francisco, worked with Sally Field, worked with Fred McMurray, right? My Three Sons Gentlemen, all these different people, and what a resume, and he's still going strong. I'm going to talk about that in a moment, but let me go to the phones if I could. Hello, you're on WBSM with John Davidson.
Hey, good morning, Paul. Philly Mac here. A couple of things, John.
Yes.
One is a question to you, and one is about you. First of all, what politician and judge did you kick off in New Hampshire that you have to tolerate Paul Santos on a Saturday morning? Secondly, when you was on Johnny Carson with Johnny, what was the most embarrassing thing that ever happened to you that came out of right field?
All right, thank you for the call. Go ahead. What's the answer?
Oh, thanks. And it's nice to have people call in. I guess people do actually listen to you.
What was that first question? How did you, end up on my show?
What was the thing about New Hampshire? What was that? I'll talk about the Carson show. I got a funny thing that happened. But what did he ask about New Hampshire?
I'm not really sure. Phil, call back and we'll ask the question again. I thought he asked you, how did you end up on my show?
The most embarrassing thing was my record label told me about your show, and Steve Berger at Verdict Music, and that's how I got on the show. But doing Carson, I came out and forgot the lyrics to a song, and they play it all the time on YouTube.
Yeah, I saw it. I found it.
Yeah, it was Rudyard Kipling's thing. If you can keep your head while all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. That was made into a song by a guy named Bobby Gosch. And I used to close my shows with that. Then you'll be a man, my son. And I forgot the lyrics. I truly, I just went blank. It happens. This was years ago when I should have been brighter. And Carson said, you're going to stand there and finish that song until hell freezes over or whatever.
Wow.
And Carson made it very funny, but I felt shocks run through my body. It was very, very embarrassing, but I guess we made it funny.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
I can't remember what this guy asked. Oh, go ahead.
All right. We got another caller on the line. Hello. You're on WBSM with John Davidson.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's everybody doing today?
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Good. I'm 49 years old, and when I first tuned in this morning, it wasn't ringing a bell. And as soon as I looked up your name, John, on Google, I said, oh, my God. I said, you are such a permanent memory in my childhood from all the different shows you were on. And definitely one of the great past actors. And Carmen, it's just great to see your face. And, you know, I don't remember any of these actors' names nowadays. To me, it's over. All the greats have already been, done their thing. And it's just great to see you. I remember you on the Love Boat, Fantasy Island. I mean, there's so many different shows. People like you were just on many different things because you were so talented. You could almost do it all on any different segment. So wonderful memories. I'll always remember you as far as all these shows go. So excellent stuff.
All right. Thank you very much for the call.
Isn't that nice?
Isn't that very nice? Now, aren't you happy that you did the Paul Santo show?
Yes.
All right, let's try this one. Hello, you're on the air with Legend. I'm sorry, I have to say that. I'm sorry. I know you're humble and everything. John Davidson. Hello, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, Paul, it's Stu. How are you?
Good. Who is this?
Stu Repogle.
Yes, Stu. How are you? I was actually...
Good, thank you.
I was in a movie in a background scene. And this is the... John, this is the director. Yeah.
Oh, good, John.
Hi, Stu.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, first off, I was a Denison film major myself, and I just wanted to bring up a gentleman who you probably will remember fondly. He used to talk about you constantly. He's Professor William Brasmer.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. That's my favorite professor. We call him Braz, and he was down in the theater arts building. You know, he's gone now, and he was an inspiration to me. He just was kind of wild and crazy, and thanks for bringing up his name.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah, I thought you'd appreciate that because again, he was always bringing up your name and what a fantastic actor you were. And I was when I saw you'd be on the show today, I thought this is tremendous. I gotta mention Braz's name and how much he loved and respected your work too. You know.
Well, he became a good friend. Even after I graduated, I would go back and we'd walk around the campus and talk about the times we had there. He was the type of theater professor who wanted you to be uphill as well. We called it uphill. In other words, I was not getting a BFA, a Bachelor of Fine Arts. I was getting a BA. And Denison, you could get a very broad major and not just be locked in the theater arts department as some people were. They just lived in the theater arts department. I was all over the campus, and I think Braz liked that. We had the Denison Summer Theater in Granville, Ohio. It was a great experience. Thanks for reminding me of that, Stu. Thanks.
It was my pleasure. And I did have one quick question. I know you have a broad background, again, as Paul pointed out. I know you've been in films as big as things like Edward Scissorhands and so on. Do you ever consider doing indie work, you know, even just for a cameo? Would that be something that, given the right script, you might consider?
Oh, sure. Sure. It'd be fun if it's an interesting role. Yeah. That'd be fun. Right now I'm just loving performing live, with my guitar and another guitar player that would be fun. Have I ever done an indie type picture? I don't I don't think so. My major films were with Disney. I did The Happiest Millionaire and the one and only Genuine Family Band. And there were musicals opposite Leslie Ann Warren. They were fun. I got to work with Walt Disney. And then after he died, I did the next musical. It was written by the Sherman Brothers, who wrote Mary Poppins. Those are a different type of film. Doing an indie film, that's a great idea.
No, maybe you'll say yes, though. You say yes to everything, right? That's what you said before? All right, Stu, thanks a lot. I got to go to a break. Did you have a comment, John?
No. Thanks for calling.
All right, back in a moment with more with John Davidson. We are having an absolute blast talking to John Davidson, talk show host on all the big shows, Ed Sullivan, Sonny and Cher, Carol Burnett, The Tonight Show, you name it, he was on it. And he's going to talk about what he's doing now right after this break. Back in a moment with the Paul Santo Show. Do the shows for like Thursday and Friday. Any truth to that?
I'm sure it did, and a lot of us did. It was a big buffet. We do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday shows, and every show you just change your shirt because when you're sitting on Hollywood Squares, they can't see below your waist. So you just bring a bunch of shirts. And then we would go to a buffet dinner, and that was the time when you got to really talk to other celebrities who were guesting, and it was great. Everybody kind of take down their hair, and I remember when Rock Hudson did the show, he brought his boyfriend with him, which he would never do on other shows. Mm-hmm. And Robin Givens from it was a show about a teenage girl. She was seeing the fighter who was a great knockout punch fighter. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they were having a relationship, and he came to Hollywood Squares to be with her there. And so it was that kind of a show where you get to know people's families and their wives and their lovers.
Where did they tape that? Was that Burbank? Is that the same studio as Carson and all of those shows?
Mostly at Burbank. Yeah. Let me see. We did some at another studio, but yeah, mostly Burbank. That's right.
All right, let's try to get a quick call in here. Please be concise if you would. Hello, you're on the air with John Davidson.
Okay.
Well, I just wanted to ask a quick one, and that's there are a lot of both radio and TV things that we don't see podcasts of, and I noticed one the other day. Peter Gunn, they smoked a lot of cigarettes, so I can imagine, you know, it doesn't get re-released because of the cigarettes. But I'm just wondering, is what holds up people's release on some of the old stuff?
That's very interesting. I've never thought about that. I wonder. I would think that only shows that have been already released and were successful would be released again. I come across old stuff from shows that I've done, but it's always something that has had success before. I don't...
Sure. Well, Laugh-In.
Did you ever do Laugh-In?
I never did Laugh-In. Oh, no, okay. I wish I had. Yeah. I did. I worked with Goldie Hawn and Ruth Buzzy and several of the people on there, but I never did Laugh-In. I wish I had.
All right, thank you very much for the call. Yeah, you have a whole list here, so we name one that you didn't do. It's like, oh, wow, how come you didn't do that one? You know, it was just the way it happened, right? Just sometimes you get invited and sometimes you didn't. I don't think they had a lot of guests on Laugh-In. They did here and there, but it was mostly like a show about their cast, I think, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
I did a go ahead.
No, please, go ahead.
I worked with Goldie Hawn in a Disney movie in Family Band, she was just a dancer at that time, and it's so funny. She said, you know, I've got a show coming up called Laugh-In that I'm going to start next September. And I don't know what it's going to be. Sounds like a crazy show. But she was really a character dancer. Mm-hmm. And it was right at the beginning of her career. She worked with Kirk Douglas? No.
Maybe.
Kirk, her husband, who married Goldie Hawn.
I know who you're talking about.
Kurt Russell.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, and that's where they sort of met on that movie when they were both young.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you wanted to weigh in. You know, I was going to have you on the show, and, you know, I'm an attorney, so, you know, people ask me, you know, the Jimmy Kimmel thing. You know, the way I look at that is, I mean, ABC can do what they want, but the thing that bothers me is that the government kind of nudged ABC to suspend Jimmy Kimmel, and really the government should stay out of it. It should be between ABC and the artists. I don't know if you wanted to weigh in on that, if you wanted to pass on that one.
Oh, I could go on and on about what's happening to our country now. It's just unbelievable what this administration is doing. And I just can't wait till it's over. And I try not, in my show.
Don't do politics, right? Yeah, I don't either.
No, I try not to. I just try to entertain people. But it's just terrible censorship that's going on just because Trump can't take a joke. Because he's such a limited person.
Well, I agree with you, but this audience tends to be right of center, so they may have a different point of view. But we decided to do a different show today. I didn't want to do politics today, but, you know, you were on all these late night shows and all this kind of thing, so I just was wondering what your thoughts were.
Yeah.
All right. I got to do this break, and then we'll talk about what's going on with you now. I get so hung up on Ed Sullivan and Johnny Carson and all these other shows. Right. I mean, you're having a blast right now, so I want to hear more about that. We'll do that in a moment right here at WBSM. You're listening to The Paul Santo Show. Fantastic guest, Mr. John Davidson.
Welcome to Big Time Television at its best. We have a lot of fun here tonight. It's a pleasure. We highlight the talented, the interesting, and the entertaining from our area. Are you in a good mood tonight?
All right, here it is, the Paul Santos Live TV show. If you think this is good.
That was great.
If you think this is good.
I loved it.
We have a little audience, and we do the show there, and, you know, it's so much fun, so much fun. But anyway, so now Rhinestone Pink Guitar, right? You just wrote that very recently. I know you're pushing that. It's on Steve Berger's label. How did that Rhinestone Pink Guitar come about?
Oh, man, it's a true story. I was living in Florida, or I was visiting my daughter in Florida, Lake Worth, Florida at the time, and in a music store in the window, there was a Rhinestone Pink guitar that I don't know, I think it was for young girls or something, but I thought, oh, my, that is a crazy idea. So I bought it, and I've always thought as a guitar as women. It's a woman's body. You know, it's very curvy.
Right.
And so I went to Michael's Arts and Crafts store, and I got feathers for it. So it actually has feathers around the outside with pink color and rhinestones. And so I wanted to write a song about how I was having an affair that had this crazy fantasy about being in love with a guitar. Mm-hmm. And so there's a little bit suggestive lines in it of you know, I say, she knew she had me in her spell. I saw her G-string sparkle. Mm-hmm. And of course, the guitar has a G-string, right? So I buy the guitar, and every day I play with the pink lady. And it's just a fun rock and roll song. And Verdict Music, my record company, got excited about it. And we're doing a contest where people can...
Yes.
Do a thing on their iPhone and sing Rhinestone Pink Guitar, you know, get the lyrics, and you can download it from Spotify or Amazon Music or whatever.
Yeah.
And so we've had a lot of people make recordings of it or videos of it and dressing up like a rock star. So it's going to be announced the end of September, but the prize money is amazing. It's $1,000.
Yes.
It's a total of $1,000, mm-hmm. first, second, and third place. And we're having a lot of fun with it.
By the way, I want to tell the audience, because we're running short on time, go to verdictmusic.com, okay? Verdictmusic.com. Click the tab that says Rhinestone Contest. You download the lyrics and record yourself playing for 1 minute. And you can have a guitar, you can just sing it, whatever, and then you tag it at Verdict Music Official, or that's on Instagram, or you can just simply email it to info@verdictmusic.com, info@verdictmusic.com. So it's a lot of fun. First prize, $500, second prize, $300, third prize, $200. And you mentioned the lyrics, John. You know the lyric I like here? Each time temptation popped its head, I've turned and walked away. Never took the load less traveled, at least not until today. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. That's like now you're going to take a chance. So before you're playing it safe, and now you're going to take a chance. I love that.
Thanks. Well, isn't that what you were? I mean, you used to be a lawyer, and now you're taking a chance, and it's working, man.
Yeah, I'm having such a blast. Yeah. Let me take one quick phone call before we run out of time. Hello, you're on the air with John Davidson.
Hey, it's Philly Mac calling back again.
Yeah, what was the question?
The question I was putting to you, John,
but in between, I figured it out myself. The question was, what powerful politician or judge in New Hampshire did you tick off where you got sentenced to deal with Paul Santos on a Saturday morning? And I realized in between, Paul's best friend, Crazy Casey, blackmailed you on somehow.
Yeah, this is your probation, being on this show.
Right. And he was a probation officer, right?
thank you, Phil. Yeah, no, that's a lot of fun. Hey, you know, Vivian, who works with you, along with Stephen Berger, she's like, hey, you're going to love John because he has a sense of humor, and so do I. I just love to yuck it up and be silly. I mean, my TV show, I mean, it's just, it's low budget. It doesn't have a lot of, you know, money behind it, but we fix it up. I have the curtain in the background. I have a shot of New Bedford in the background, you know, just to set up a little set. And when people come on the show, they love it. They go, oh, my God, that was great. I got comedians coming from all over New England. They want to be on the show. So I'm having an absolute blast with the thing. It's a lot of work, though. I got to tell you, it's a lot of work, you know, lining up the guests. I mean, I have to do it myself and who's going to be on and da-da-da-da. But it's a labor of love. And I'm glad that you, at your age of 83, you're performing at this club that you own in New Hampshire for 90 minutes straight. I mean, that's pretty significant.
Well, yes, all that you said is true, and this is something I've always wanted to do, and I do love it. I figured out, I think every person that is over 50 has to figure out, okay, now, there's going to be a time when I've got to either retire or do something that I really want to do, and that's sometimes hard to figure out.
Yeah, you know, time is so precious. You know what I mean? Like, time is so precious. I'm really happy to see. I hope I'm like you. I hope I'm 81, 82, you know, still doing a radio show and a TV show and just having a blast. I saw a clip of, you know, I think one of the New Hampshire television stations did a piece on you, and you just picked up the guitar and started playing it like it was nothing. I mean, you definitely have the entertainment gene.
I love it.
Yeah, I can tell. So is it true they asked you, hey, you know, this time of your life compared to earlier in your life, you actually said that you like this time as much as you did before. Is that true?
I think I'm looking forward to my best years yet, actually. There's a certain freedom if you take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people as they age don't take advantage of the freedom that they have because it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Because you have more time, and you're saying, oh, what am I going to do? Figure out what you really like to do. If you like dealing with animals, go work in a pet clinic or something. If you really like playing marbles, join a marble team. There's so many things you can do, and we limit ourselves as we get older by saying, oh, I could never do that.
Right.
No.
Well, me is the other way around. That's why I like that lyric that you never took the road less traveled, but not at least not until today. So, like, doing a TV show, you know, you got to put yourself out there. I'm sure there are people that are laughing at it or whatever, you know. I don't care. I love doing that show, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, all right. So, I just want to make this quick because we got about a minute left. Go to verdictmusic.com, verdictmusic.com, Rhinestone Pink Guitar Contest. Click on the tab that says Rhinestone Contest. Download the lyrics and record yourself singing and playing the song for 1 minute. The contest ends on September 26th. And you can send it, tag it to @verdictmusicofficial on Instagram. Okay, once again, Instagram, @verdictmusicofficial. And if you want to just do a straight email, you can at info@verdictmusic.com. info@verdictmusic.com. Ah, now, so you can put a feather in your cap. You've done Carson. You've done Merv Griffin. You've done Sonny and Cher. And now, ladies and gentlemen, he's done Paul Santos.
You know, I play with your name because I study a lot of Spanish, and I thought Santos must be originally a Spanish name, right?
Well, somewhere it's Portuguese.
Originally.
Portuguese. Yeah, because Portugal and Spain were together. So, yeah, I don't know. It's always been a Portuguese name around here. It's Portuguese.
Thanks for letting me play around with your name.
Oh, I just love it. I'm like, I can't believe John Davidson is, like, introducing me. This is great. You know, this is fantastic. Hey, but what you did, like, filling in on